Hey everybody, it's Pastor Brian Ross from Grace Life Bible Church in Grand Rapids, Michigan. And we want to welcome you once again to our midweek video this week, as we're going to be continuing our series that we started last week on social justice and scripture. And we're going to have the second in that series here shortly. I want to welcome you to our YouTube channel here. If you haven't already done so, I'd like to ask you to subscribe and click on the bell, ring the bell, so that you can stay current with our video and our ministry here at Grace Life Bible Church and here on our YouTube page. And I also want to talk about our featured book this month for the month of July is The Day of the Lord Project. This is a co-authored book by myself and Brother Dave Reed talking about the nature of the Day of Christ, the Day of the Lord, and how both of those fit together for the accomplishment of the eternal purpose of God. So you can pick that up from Dispensational Publishing House for $6. If you are so inclined, we encourage you to do that. And then also want to remind you about our Rumble channel, which I need to load here. But we have been making some success, or progress, I should say, on Rumble. And we are currently up to 92 subscribers. So we want to thank everybody who has subscribed to our Rumble channel. And if you are into alt tech sites, we've established this as an alternative to YouTube should something happen to our YouTube ministry. Last week, we talked about part one in this series, social justice and scripture. And I talked to you about untangling the terminological matrix. Okay. And there's a lot of terminology that go into the issue of social justice and critical race theory and a lot of things that are being discussed right now out there in the public space that I've been getting a lot of questions about. And so that's why I decided to delve into this. I read this book here by Vodi Bachman, Fault Lines, The Social Justice Movement, and Evangelicals' Looming Catastrophe. And I found this book to be exceedingly helpful in understanding what's going on with this very hot-button issue. If you look around right now, it doesn't matter what news media this is being discussed. And a lot of people are, you know, really upset about this. There's a lot of passion being stoked around this issue of social justice and specifically critical race theory. So it's important for us as believers to understand what's happening. My intention is to try to bring light to this issue, not heat. My intention is to try to speak truth to this issue, to speak the truth in love, and to try to help believers to think about how to process what's going on around them currently when it relates to this issue. So last week in the first study, I talked to you about the terminological matrix that exists here, okay? And we talked first about critical theory. Second, I talked to you about what the word hegemony means and how that word's being used in all of this. We talked about the Frankfurt School and how the Frankfurt School took the conflict theory of Karl Marx and mutated it, changed it into critical theory. Then we talked about the words, we broke down critical theory and understood each word, each component part as far as critical and theory. Then we talked about critical race theory. And then I ended by talking about intersectionality. So the purpose of the first video was to unpack and untangle this terminology that people that are associated with this conversation. And I've seen news reports even just in the last few days that of people claiming that, well, this isn't really what people are saying that it is, and that a lot of false things have been said about what critical race theory is, etc. And let me assure you that after reading Vodi Bachman's book and doing a fair amount of independent reading and research into this, that there definitely is something to what is being said, as far as the critics of this idea are not making it up. They are able to read and understand the primary enunciators of this worldview philosophy, and it is a worldview philosophy, like I impressed upon you last time, that I believe is contrary to the scripture. So what are we going to do in this video? In this video, I basically want to do three things in this video. The first thing, as I want to talk about, my first point is going to be that racism is real. That's point number one. Point number two, racism is unscriptural. It is unscriptural, and it is unbiblical, and it is contrary to God's thought process to favor one group of people over another simply on the basis of race and outward appearance. And thirdly, I want to talk to you about and show you how racism is being redefined, and that how critical social justice and critical race theory is a redefinition of racism that is very significant and very important for people to be aware of what is going on with that. So let's get into my first point. My first point is that racism is real, okay? So what I want to do right here is I just want to dispel. I am not saying, because I reject critical race theory, that racism isn't real, that there aren't people, there aren't individuals who are racist, who harbor beliefs about others based upon skin color, based upon ethnicity, based upon factors outside of someone's control, that they are automatically therefore inferior and that they are superior. No one's denying that this idea exists, that there are people that are like this, that there have been institutions even in American history that were based on a racial ideology, okay? The Bible has been misused to try to justify slavery and other things, okay? All of those things are facts. And so what I want to say at the outset is that racism is real, and just because somebody does not subscribe to critical social justice or critical race theory does not automatically mean that that person does not believe that racism is real or that racism has been and even is to some degree a problem, okay? Now, you know, we can look at American history, okay? And I don't want to get into all this too significantly because people get all, you know, all bent out of shape. But listen, to have a system where human beings are owned as chattel property, that is a problem. I mean, that's not right. That's not the way God would have us function as believers. And so that's a reality of, you know, American history. Now, we fought a war, the Civil War, around that concept, and we, you know, amendments to the Constitution were passed changing that system, changing that, okay? Obviously, Jim Crow was a terrible situation for there to be that type of segregation and that type of, you know, racist thinking where, you know, just because of the color of your skin, you couldn't eat at a lunch counter or you had to sit in a certain place in a bus or something along those lines, okay? So, no, I want to acknowledge that these are real things, and they're things that you know have impacted people and that we do struggle with, and racism is real. But racism is not just a black-white problem. Racism is a human problem. Racism is a problem that exists because of sin. I think about, for example, anti-Semitism. This is another example of what we could argue as racism. It's not a black-white issue, but it is the identification of a particular ethnic group and treating them as inferior and so forth based upon that ethnic distinction. So racism is real, but it's not simply a black-white problem. It is a human heart problem. It is a sin problem that exists that has caused this to be the case. I mean, I think about Galatians chapter 5. In Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 21, the Apostle Paul identifies the works of the flesh, and one of the works of the flesh that he identifies is hatred. Let me read this for you, okay? Verse 18, but if you are led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, verse 20, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred. For somebody to hate somebody else solely because of their ethnicity or their skin color, or to view that person as inferior or less than or themselves as superior simply on those bases is just not right. It's not scriptural. And the real problem with it is the problem resides in the human heart. It is a sin problem. Okay. And all of the systems that you might want to try to put in place to quote unquote heal that The only thing that is going to deal with that issue is when people understand the gospel, Paul's gospel, the gospel of the grace of God clearly, and they understand that God is not a respecter of persons, and that God will save anybody, man, woman, male, female, old, young, light skin, dark skin, Asian, Australian, Aboriginal, African, Nordic, it doesn't matter. He will save anybody who trusts in the finished work of his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so racism is real, and it is a problem. And just because somebody is against critical social justice and critical race theory does not mean that they are not acknowledging that racism is a problem and that it has, and that it is real and that it has caused issues. And I also add, you know, it's not just, you know, black, white, et cetera here. There's also longstanding issues related to racism in the Asian world. This book right here, The Rape of Nanjing, The Forgotten Holocaust of World War II, chronicles the absolute atrocities that the Japanese military committed against the Chinese because the Japanese viewed themselves as superior to the Chinese. So this is an example of racial superiority and racist thinking within the Asiatic people group, where one group, the Japanese, viewed themselves as superior from the Chinese and treated them absolutely horrifically because of their superiority complex. And so this is just another example of the fact that racism is real. I had to read this book in my master's degree in military history. This is not fun reading, folks, to read about the absolute hatred that the Japanese had for the Chinese during that time. And even today, I just read a headline today that the Japanese are willing to fight the Chinese over Taiwan. So this, my first point is simply to say racism is real. Whether we're talking about Asians hating other Asians, whether we're talking about Africans hating other Africans, yes, it is true that Africans betrayed their fellow Africans to the slave traders as part of that process. But people don't want to talk about that because that's an inconvenient truth to the narrative. And remember, we saw in the last video that critical theory and critical race theory don't want to deal in objective truth or factual ways. They want everything to be subjective and related to storytelling. So white people can hate other white people. Asian people can hate other Asian people. Black people can hate other black people. And you know, you mix up all that stuff and you understand that racism is real. The problem, though, is the human heart. The problem is a sin problem. So I want to get to my second point then, which I've touched on somewhat here, and that's that racism is unscriptural. Look, when you look at Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, it says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. God made man in his image. He didn't make less than humans and superior humans. He didn't make one group better than the other group. He made man in his own image, male and female created he them. God made male and female in the beginning. He created them in the beginning, and they were made in the image of God. And God did not say, this group superior to this group over here. That's not what happened. That's not what the testimony of scriptures say. You got Acts 17, verse 26 here. Notice what it says. And hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the earth, and have determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. So in Genesis chapter 1, God made male and female, created he them, right? Well, here we have that God made all the nations are made of one blood, folks. One blood. All of the human race, Asians, Aborigines, Africans, Europeans, Native Americans, on and on down the list. God, all of them are descended from one blood, from one human being, Adam. And God, there's more genetic differences between a white person with brown eyes and a white person with blue eyes than there are between a white-skinned human being and a dark-skinned human being. God made male and female in the beginning, created he them, and he made of all, of one blood, all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the earth. This is the testimony of Scripture. God did not, this idea that my ethnic group or my race is superior to those guys over there, or those guys over there view themselves as superior to me, this idea did not come from God. This came as a result of the fall and the curse of sin, where men started to think of themselves more highly than they ought. Okay? So this idea of racism, this principle of racism, is unscriptural and it's not found in the Bible. In fact, when Samuel is seeking David and trying to figure out who's going to be anointed as the king of Israel, he doesn't obviously know at the time, but David is going to be the one that he ultimately anoints. There's this conversation here in 1 Samuel chapter 6, verse 7. Notice what it says. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. So Samuel thinks that, you know, of all the sons of Jesse, that, you know, he should pick the best looking one, the tallest one, the one that's most, you know, physically fit and strapping and this kind of a thing, right? And God has to tell Samuel, Samuel, you are not thinking about this right. I'm not looking at the countenance. I'm not looking at the height of the stature. I'm not looking at the things that you are looking at as a human being as you are evaluating this, right? For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For the Lord looketh on the outward, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. What matters to God is the heart attitude of an individual human being, not their skin color, not their ethnic group, not their race. Man looks at all this stuff and makes everything into a mess, because he's not thinking about the situation the way God does. God does not evaluate the situation based upon the outward appearance. The Lord looks at the heart. You know, and our apostle, the apostle Paul, for this dispensation, he flat out says in Romans chapter 2, look at verse 10, but glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile, for there is no respect of persons with God. God is not a respecter of persons. He never has been. And he, even when he divided the nations and he called the nation of Israel out unto himself, he was not condemning the other folks just because of, you know, skin color or ethnicity or whatever. He was executing a plan in the earth, a plan to possess the earth for himself. But our apostle is very clear. He says that there is no respect of persons with God. So for a human being now to come and have preferential treatment or what have you for specific groups of people is totally contrary to the way our apostle thinks about things and would have us to think about things. In Romans chapter 3, verse 9, Paul says, what then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise, for we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. All of humanity that is made of one blood, made of the one blood of Adam, they are all under sin, and that is where the race problem is coming from. That the race problem is coming from sinful men thinking that they're better than other people. It is not coming from God, and for men to behave that way is to function in an unscriptural manner. In fact, Paul says that there are really only two kinds of people. There are only two kinds of people in the earth, in the world. There are those who are in Adam, and there are those who are in Christ. Why? Because the Lord's looking at the heart. He's not looking at the outward appearance. The Lord's looking at the heart. He's looking at the individual soul and that individual heart and where it stands before God. He's not looking at society at large. He's not looking at, you know, the institutions within a society. He's looking at the personal heart and soul of the individual. And what Paul says here is that for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. So every human being today is either in Adam, dead in trespasses and sins, and in Adam, or they are in Christ. They have trusted the finished work of Jesus Christ as the only total complete payment for their sin. And there's no difference. All these people that are in Adam, all of the lost, all the people that have never trusted the finished work of Christ, they are all equally lost. There is no difference between them. Okay? Those of us who are saved, those of us who have trusted Christ, the gospel of Christ, and have believed that Christ died for our sins, the same is true of us. We are put into the body of Christ, where there is no Jew or Gentile, where there is no male or female, okay? All of the things that divide men in the earth today have been done away in the body of Christ. Let me show you the verses. We'll start here with 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. Notice, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free. Do you understand that? Do you understand that that in Christ, that division between slave or bond and free is done away? So somebody who's in Christ, a believer in Christ, who's free, and a believer in Christ who's in the position of servitude, according to Paul, he's like, in Christ, they're all one. That distinction is done away, right? It's no longer an issue. It says right here, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles. Whether we be bond or free, we've all been made to drink into one Spirit. So whether you're in Adam and you're dead in trespasses and sins, there's no difference. Or whether you're in the body of Christ and you've trusted the finished work of Christ, there's no difference, because God has spiritually removed all of the differences, all of the things that separate men in the earth. Look at Galatians chapter 3, verse 27. For as many of you as have been baptized into Jesus Christ have put on Christ. Now look, for there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. So, Jew, Greek, bond, free, male, female, are all one in Christ. All of these things that divide men in the earth. All of these things, I will add, that critical social justice and critical race theory are harping on and saying that these are the main things that we need to be worried about. Our apostle and the Holy Scriptures are saying all that stuff in Christ is done away. It's done away. All the divisions, all the distinctions, all the things that divide men in the earth, socioeconomic class, sex, nationality, all of it are done away in Christ. It doesn't matter, because we are all one in Christ Jesus. And then we have Colossians. Then we also have here, assuming I can get it to generate, we have Colossians chapter 3, verse 11. Where there is, let's go up to the previous verse here, okay, so we get the context. Paul says in verse 10, and I put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond, nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Folks, critical social justice and critical race theory are an attack of the adversary on the unity that believers have in Christ. They're an attack on the unity of the unity that believers have in Christ. And I would also say that they're an attack on how we get into Christ. Okay? They're an attack on both fronts. So number one, racism is real. Number two, racism is unscriptural. It's not, God does not look at the outward appearance. He looks at the heart. And isn't that what Martin Luther King said in his I Have a Dream speech? He says, I have a dream that one day my children would be judged, not by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. That was his dream. His dream is that what would matter more to people is not the outward appearance. What would matter more to people is the condition of the heart of the individual. What kind of person are they? Okay? Not the color of their skin, but the content of their character. And I would dare say that what we see happening now is the undoing of Dr. Martin Luther King's vision. Because what we see now, as I move into my third point about racism being redefined, what we see happening now is, if you are born white, like myself, you are automatically privileged, fragile, entitled, and all sorts of things simply based upon the outward appearance, simply based upon the color of your skin. Does not matter what my heart is towards black people that I have that I know and that I've interacted with, et cetera, in my life. That doesn't matter, because what's more important is the fact that I'm white, I'm part of the oppressor, according to critical race theory. So this is a really terrible philosophy. This is a really terrible worldview that not only is it contrary to scripture, but it's also undermining the thought process of one of the great civil rights leaders that implemented real change in the history of this country as far as how black Americans are treated. But racism is being redefined. Okay, let me show you a few things. Okay, so again, I read Bachman's book here, and some of what I'm going to show you is some things that he discussed. And then I want to make a couple points, and I'll wrap up this video, okay? Now, here's the Merriam-Webster Dictionary. And come on, I don't want to subscribe to you, so I'm going to say later, okay? Now, here's the definition of racism according to the Merriam-Webster Dictionary. Notice what it says. One, a belief that race is a fundamental determinant of human traits and capacities, and that racial differences produce an inherent superiority of a particular race. Okay. Now, when most people think about racism, this is the way they think about it. This is the traditional, classical definition of racism that most people are familiar with. This is the definition of racism that everything I've said so far in this video has sort of been implying, right? And this is also behavior or attitudes that reflect or foster this belief. Okay, discrimination or prejudice are part of this idea here of racism. Okay, so this is the classical definition of racism. Now, this following image here, this is a picture from Vodi Bachman's book here. This is page 81, and notice what it says here. It says, "Nor is this Webster's definition unique." So what I have underlined here, this is the same definition that I just read from you to you from this website right here. Okay, so notice what it says. Nor is Webster's definition unique. Talking about Merriam-Webster. The Oxford English Dictionary defines racism as a belief that one's own racial or ethnic group is superior, or that other such groups represent a threat to one's cultural identity, racial integrity, or economic well-being. Also a belief that the members of different racial or ethnic groups possess specific characteristics, abilities, or qualities which can be compared and evaluated, hence prejudice, discrimination, or antagonism directed against people of another race or ethnic group, or more widely of other nationalities, especially based on such beliefs. However, it is important to note that for the anti-racist, these definitions no longer suffice. So racism is being redefined. That's my third point. This classical traditional definition of racism that we see here in the that I read to you here from Merriam-Webster's dictionary, and that we have a picture of here from the Oxford English Dictionary, are the way that most folks will view racism as far as the definition goes. Okay, but look at this. So Vodi Bachman published this book in 2001. I'm sure that this thing went to the press and editing and so on and so forth before it was published. So I went to the Oxford English Dictionary, and notice, I want you to see something here. Notice this is the entry for racism. Notice what it says over here. This entry has been updated. OED 3rd edition, June 2008. So it was updated in 2008. Then look what it says. Most recently modified version published online December 2020. So in the last month of last year, December 2020, notice that the Oxford English Dictionary changed the definition of racism. Here's their new definition. Prejudice, antagonism, or discrimination by an individual, notice, institution, or society against a person or people on the basis of their nationality, or now usually their membership of a particular racial or ethnic group, typically one that is a minority or marginalized, also believes that members of a particular racial or ethnic group possess innate characteristics or qualities, or that some racial or ethnic groups are superior to others, an ideology based on such beliefs. Notice how from December 2020, there it is right there, they have changed the definition even from what Vody Bachman had in his book. So the definition of racism is changing, folks. It no longer, when you hear the proponents of critical social justice and critical race theory talking about the definition of racism, they no longer mean what these standard definitions meant. They now say prejudice plus power equals racism. Prejudice plus powers equals racism. So let me unpack that for you. Black people, people of color, cannot be racist because they don't have power. They can be prejudiced, but they can't be racist. And white people are prejudiced and they have power, so they are automatically racist. So it is a total redefinition here of what is going on. So when we look here at the dictionary, we see that notice the adding of, not sure how I got off of where I wanted to be with this definition. Well, I apparently clicked something. Let me try to go back. Here we are. Notice that it includes now issues, prejudice, antagonism, and discrimination by an individual, institution, or society. So the issue now is no longer the individual. The issue is now no longer you and I as individuals in our own heart before the Lord and our own behavior, our own conduct. It is now an institutional thing. It's now an institutional thing, and you can see these definitions changing here in real time. So let me read to you from Vody Bachman's book here. So what I'm reading from here is page 87 of Fault Lines. Okay. He says, if you think this definition is limited to academics and grievance studies, you are sorely mistaken. For example, David Platt is in a momentous sermon delivered at Together for the Gospel in 2018, defined racism as. So this is a citation from a sermon, and this is what he said. A system in which race, and specifically white and black skin colors, profoundly affects people's economic, political, and social experiences. This is unmistakably taken from the anti-racist lexicon. But lest you think it's individuals, it lets individuals off the hook, Jarvis Williams claims, quote, race and racial reconciliation are soteriological issues. That means they're issues of salvation. Thus, not only are white Christians who fail to adopt anti-racist theology and repent of racism in jeopardy of becoming alienated from God, but those who fail to evaluate the preaching of the anti-racist message to the same level as the preaching of the gospel are apparently preaching another gospel, which according to Williams is no gospel at all. Ironically, it is the anti-racists who have abandoned the gospel, since their view is there is no good news of grace, only law. Folks, this is a serious issue for the truth of the gospel. They're making this a, in their own terminology, a soteriological issue, an issue related to salvation. Okay. And so what we have here is a false dichotomy. What we have here is a logical problem of what we call a false dichotomy, an either-or dilemma. Okay? So if you're not part of the anti-racist movement, you are by definition a racist. So let me read to you about that again from page 87. What's the problem with being not racist? As Kennedy, so we're talking here about Kennedy, the writer of the book, How to Be Anti-Racist. Kennedy says, what's the problem with being not racist? Asks Kennedy in How to Be an Anti-Racist. It is a claim that signifies neutrality. I'm not a racist, but neither am I aggressively against racism. But there is no neutrality in the racism struggle. The opposite of racist isn't not racist, it's anti-racist. In other words, anti-racism means more than simply being against racism. The new definition adds the dimension of activism. The anti-racist, therefore, is one who does the work of exposing, combating, and reversing the ubiquitous influences of racism in the past, present, and future. Folks, so what we have here is a dichotomy that says, listen, if you're not with us in our critical social justice and our critical race theory, if you're not with us, you are a racist. Regardless of the personal behavior, attitudes, and actions of that individual, if you're not for us, you're against us. If you're not for our definition, then you're against our definition and you are part of the problem. Okay? This is what we're talking about here when we think about racism being redefined. And there's a massive compendium of literature on this that Vody Bachman deals with. So let me talk to you in closing about a practical example. So I came across this picture on the internet, and I don't know who's responsible for it. It's got nothing to do with me. I just saw it and I thought it was a good example. So this is the door to a classroom in some school somewhere. I don't know where, but this is what it says. Dear students, they didn't steal slaves. They stole scientists, doctors, architects, teachers, entrepreneurs, astronomers, fathers, mothers, sons, daughters, etc., and made them slaves. Sincerely, your ancestors. So there's three things I want to say about this. First, is there an element of truth to this? I would say yes. There is an element of truth to this. The people that were taken and made slaves. That's wrong. They were taken and made slaves, and they could have been scientists, doctors, teachers, entrepreneurs, astronomers, etc., right? So there's an element of truth to what is being said here. But there's also a lot that's not being said here along two lines that I want to mention. First, what about this? This says nothing about the fact that involved in the slave trade were other Africans who were betraying their fellow Africans. So that's a fact that doesn't fit the narrative. So you're not allowed to bring that up. You're not allowed to bring that objective fact up. And if you do bring it up, well, that's just your white fragility talking because you're paying more attention to facts, objective facts, than you are to the narrative that we want you to be following here. And second, what culpability does any kid entering this classroom have for any of that? They weren't there. They didn't do it. They didn't participate, but they're being held responsible and accountable simply because of the actions of white men in the past. Actions, by the way, that I do not approve of and that the scripture rebukes. Okay? So there's a lot here. And unfortunately, I feel like no matter what I say, I'm going to not really do justice in covering it. But we need to understand that this is a either or dilemma. This is a black or white, all or nothing scenario that they're wanting to put people in. If you're not for us, you're against us. And this is what we see happening right now in churches, in local churches. They're being split apart and divided over this issue. Schools, communities are being ripped apart. Relationships are ending. Friends are parting ways because some are not willing to embrace this critical social justice, critical race theory mindset. My reason for not embracing it is because it's contrary to the Word of God. racism is real. We need to acknowledge that racism is real, folks. It is a real problem. It's a sin problem. There are two kinds of people. There are those who are in Adam and there are those who are in Christ. Racism is unscriptural. God is no respecter of persons. God does not look at the outward appearance. Let's go back to the verse. God does not look at the outward appearance. Man looks at the outward appearance. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Racism is unscriptural because it elevates and says what your skin color is sets you apart and not what the content of your character, not what your heart is. And this critical race theory, critical social justice theory, is saying now that all people across an entire group are all guilty of things that they've never done simply because of the fact that they were born white. Folks, for any Bible-believing Christian who thinks this statement here is God's word, we cannot accept this. We cannot embrace this as true. Because the Lord is not looking at the outward appearance. The Lord is not a respecter of persons. And for all of us who are in Christ, all the things that divide men in the earth, nationality, sex, socioeconomic class, all of it have all been done away and we are all one in Christ. What we need is to teach and preach the gospel. That's what we need. So in this video, I endeavor to cover 3 points. Number one, racism is real. Number two, racism is unscriptural. And number three, racism is being redefined. Now, before you go, just want to remind you about a couple things. We are live, Grace Life Bible Church, we are live on Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. and 10:40 in our live stream on YouTube and Facebook. Also want to remind you about our upcoming Bible conference here on Philemon Grace in Action. This is coming up October 22nd, 23rd, and 24th. And we're happy this year to have Joel Hayes and Brother David Osteen as our speakers as we do a deep dive into the book of Philemon. And before you go, folks, if you haven't already done so, would you consider subscribing and ringing the alarm bell so you can get updates and liking and sharing this video and leaving a comment if you're so inclined? And just before you go, just want to remind you also here about the Day of the Lord Project, our featured book for the month of July, and our alt tech video site here on Rumble. And most of all, if you've never trusted Jesus Christ, if you've never acknowledged that you're a sinner and that you cannot save yourself, God doesn't care if you're white, black, yellow, purple. He doesn't care. He will save any human being that acknowledges their sin, that reaches out in faith to a Redeemer, who died on the cross for their sin, was buried and rose again. The very moment, the second that you believe and trust that gospel, you'll pass from death to life and you'll be put into the church, the body of Christ, where there is no Jew or Gentile, where there is no bond or free, where there is no male or female, where there is no barbarian, Scythian, but all are one and Christ is all and in all. Trust Christ today before it's everlasting too late. Thanks for your time.